So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and by your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he, the Father, has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance with the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead and seated Jesus at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is coming. And he, the Father, put all things under his feet, the feet of Jesus, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of Christ who fills all in all." Praise God. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we look at your word, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the realities of your truth, that we would know and we would experience the depths of your calling, of your love, of your power, of your glory, and that these things would draw us closer to you, engage us deeper into your mission, that your kingdom would be spread in our lives and in the neighborhoods around us. For your name, for your glory, for your purpose. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, we are, just to kind of recap for us a little bit, Paul is in the middle of detailing what this prayer, or he's detailing what his prayer is for the Ephesians. Even more, know that this is a prayer for us, for all who would believe, right? And his heart is this: look, may your eyes be open to know the depths of the hope to which God has called you, to know the glorious riches of our inheritance with the saints. This is the inheritance God gives to us in community with all the saints, saints before us, now, and the saints to come long after us. And to know the greatness of God's power that is given to you and I who believe, right? And so, in talking about this power then, in verses 20 through 23, Paul is kind of rattling off a few evidences of God's power. And then in verse 23, he kind of says, okay, now here's why this power is significant for the church. Now, the evidence that Paul highlights details the resurrection of Jesus, details the secession of Jesus, and the subjection of Jesus. So, the resurrection, the secession of Jesus, the subjection of Jesus. And so, I just kind of want to go briefly through those. Right? In verse 20, Paul says again, this power that the Father worked in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead. The immeasurable greatness of God's power raised Christ from the dead. Now, we have said this previously, right? Romans 4:17, God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So not only does God create everything out of nothing, he also gives life to that which is dead. Kind of going back to Easter, it appeared that on the Friday Jesus died on the cross, all hope was lost. What had begun about 3 years previously abruptly ended viciously. After Jesus was buried, people went back home and the disciples basically hid in fear, wondering if they would be next. However, what is commonly known as Silent Saturday, God was all but silent as he moved about in the spiritual realm, preparing for something never seen before the next morning. Though Jesus and some prophets had raised people from the dead before, no one had ever raised themselves back to life until Jesus. Think about that. So it is recorded in Gospels, Jesus raising at least four people from the dead. But no one had ever raised themselves back from the dead. And this is what makes Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' power, so much greater than anything else. See, the whole Trinity was involved in Jesus' resurrection. Paul clearly does state that the Father raised Christ from the dead, but also in places like John 10:18, Jesus says, look, I lay my life down. No one takes it from me. And I have the power and the authority to take it back up again, meaning rise it back up again. This authority, he says, was given to me by the Father. So the Father granted the Son sole authority to raise himself back from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul in Romans 8:11 talks about this power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you and I. He's talking about the Spirit's life, the Spirit's power, the Spirit's presence is in us. Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead, victorious over death and the power of sin. Maybe you are in that in-between of a silent Saturday. And you're thinking that God is not doing anything or maybe even hearing you or seeing you. Maybe you're wondering if God's power is truly able to help you in the situation that you find yourself in. Please know that God is working. God does hear you. God does see you. And God's power is more sufficient for whatever situation that you're in right now. As we said last week, or 2 weeks ago, God's power in you and for you is able to bring dead things back to life, is able to create new things within you. The second thing Paul says is not only has Jesus been raised from the dead, but the Father seated him, Jesus, at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one coming. This is what is known as the session of Jesus. And this was all done by the immeasurable greatness of God's power. I want to kind of repeat those words again. The hyperbolo means transcendent, immeasurable, right? and the megathos, the greatness of God's power, the transcendent, a power that is beyond comprehension. This is the power that Paul is talking about. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he is standing on the Mountain of Olives, and this is in Acts 1, and sitting on the Mountain of Olives, and he ascends into the sky, right? This is his ascension. And his ascension into the heavenly places where God dwells, this ascension began his succession as king, king of heaven and of earth, as supreme authority over everything in the heavens above and the earth below. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, that is his death, right? A single sacrifice that lasts for all of time. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Paul would say, again, in Romans 8, 34, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for you and I. Now, when Paul says Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, know that the right hand of God is a position of great honor and authority. Jesus being seated signifies that his work was completed and accepted by God, that he didn't have to do anything else. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross was absolutely perfect and complete for every person, every sin, and all who call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But it also signifies that his reigning session as King of all is now taking place in the heavenly places. This heavenly places refers us back to verse 3, where Paul has said, look, that the Father has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, sometimes we think of this spiritual realm as maybe being out there, maybe even a bit like a fairy tale, because we can't really see the spiritual realm. But we are told from Old Testament all the way through the New Testament that this spiritual realm is very much real. It is a reality. Though we cannot see it, it is very much at work. And we can experience this as God allows and as he reveals. And Paul is actually going to speak more about this realm of reality further in Ephesians, particularly in Ephesians chapter 6. Please know that in talking about Jesus sitting up in the heavenly places, do not think that he is sitting idly in heaven, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for something to happen, or just seeing how things kind of pan out for us down here. He is actively involved within our lives. He is interceding for us. He sits upon the throne over all things, ready to act on our behalf and for his glory. He is more present in our lives than we think. He is far above every position, every kingdom, every force, every name that has ever been uttered, and every title that has ever been given in all of heaven and all of earth since time began and after time ends. There is no one greater than Jesus Christ, who is for us our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the beginning and the end. He was, He is, He will be forevermore. Amen. We have a relationship with a King that is far above anything else anyone has ever experienced. A few years back, we had the opportunity and blessing to take our kids to Disney World. And while we were there, they were beginning to open up Star Wars attractions. And our family are really big into the Star Wars movies and such. So anyway, our kids wanted to see specific characters from the movies. But in order to see these characters, we had to sign up for a certain time. And if we missed our time, we could not come later, right? So we had to kind of schedule our entire day around this time frame so we did not miss our spot. And so when our time came, we waited in line, we got through, and we were kind of funneled into this room. And we were able to see Kylo Ren and Chewbacca, right? And so they would kind of hustle us in there. They would gather us around each of the characters. They would snap a couple of pictures, and then they will funnel us back out again, right? So we would wait all this time, all day, for a thing that maybe took maybe 5 minutes. I bring that up because I was thinking about that when I was reading and studying about this session of Jesus Christ, Him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the fact that Paul says that Christ is interceding for us right now as He sits upon the throne. Guys, getting an audience with Jesus isn't like signing up to see certain characters in Disney World, where you're funneled in and funneled out, where you only have one moment before them. Jesus, our King, is available to us 24/7. We have the privilege through Jesus, through the Spirit inside us, we have the privilege and opportunity to stand before, as the Hebrew writer says, before the throne of grace and mercy every day and every moment of every day. And we can stand in His presence as much as we want. In fact, God wants us to stand in the presence of Him all day long. A.W. Tozer would say that the presence of God standing before Him is actually what we were designed for. And that is what God wants for us. We are to push into that presence. At any time, we can have an audience with our King. For whatever reason, no matter how small, no matter how large, and our King who sits on the throne is able to handle it. The next thing Paul talks about is the subjection of Jesus. You see, the immeasurable greatness of God's power subjected all things under Jesus. To be subjected means to be under the another person's full control and authority. So while a normal king can be dethroned, the King of Kings can never be dethroned. Jesus Christ will never be overthrown, and His kingdom will never be taken away, nor never end. 1 Peter chapter 3 kind of talks about this. This is in verse 22. He says, Jesus Christ, who has gone into the heavens and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers, having been subjected to Him. those under Jesus's subjection are those who serve him, such as you and I, and also those who try to thwart him, such as Satan and demons. This kind of placing a foot over them, it was back in the day, and as well as still today, it was a practice. So when you defeated your enemy, you would put your foot upon them, showing that you have destroyed them, you have conquered them, that your power is so much greater than theirs. Think of sometimes when people go hunting, right? They will, you know, if people will hunt deers or moose or whatever, right? A hunter will kind of stand proudly, shoulders back, gun in hand, and his foot upon his kill, showing that he has brought vindication, right? This is the picture that Paul is trying to create for us, that Jesus sits upon the throne in full authority and full subjection over all things. So these are the evidences of the immeasurable greatness of God's power. And going back to verse 19, Paul says, look, this immeasurable greatness of the Father's power, of the power for is given to us who believe. This power is for us. Here's how Paul says that. See, because in verse 22, right, he subjected all things under Jesus, right? And yet, he gave him, Christ, as head over all things to the church. That the word, the church, signify points back to those who believe, those who keep believing, those who keep trusting, those who keep abiding. Remember, one of my favorite passages, and I say this almost all the time, right? John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, right? You will give evidence of my life in you and through you. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If we unhook ourselves from our power source, eventually we will run out of power to do the simplest of things effectively. We must stay connected to the only all-sufficient, never-ending power source, who is Christ our Lord. This supreme power and authority and rule is given by God to the church as a gift. A gift for what? Right? Because that's a logical conclusion. Paul says, the Father gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The supremacy of Christ is given to the church, his body, his instrument of ministry, in order to function and live through his own life and power, as their very own life and power in the world around them. When God gives you new life, he gives you the life of Christ. That's why Jesus comes and lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit, to live his life through us. This is the whole process of sanctification. This is why Jesus is our sanctifier. He means to live his very life in us and through us. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, this is kind of a wonky type of sentence. And sometimes people kind of debate about this. But after studying, I mean, here are the conclusions that I bring from this. Picture the church as a container. Think of like a big tub, so to say, right? We are a container for the fullness of Christ, individually and corporately, right? The church is the fullness of Christ, not because we completely fill Him, but rather because He completely fills us. One of the commentaries I read said this: the church only exists and functions according to its relationship with the risen Lord and its submission to His headship. The church as a body derives life and power only from its head. Again, if we disconnect ourselves from Christ, we are like headless chickens running around, right? Eventually, we're just going to pass over dead, and that's it. Christ doesn't want us to be headless. He wants us to function effectively. And this is why the Father gives the fullness, the supremacy, the awesome power of Christ to us, His children, the Father's children. We are the church, the body of Christ, the instrument He uses to continue to fulfill His mission, complete His mission here on earth. He wants His life in us. In a companion epistle, which we have said before is Colossians, right? So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul kind of takes the phrase that we're looking at in Ephesians and kind of says it a little bit differently in Colossians, where he says, Christ is all and in all, meaning He fills all things with all things. The fullness of Christ is in us. And this fullness fills the universe with everything it needs to exist. Think about that. The fullness of Jesus is inside each one of us through the working of the Holy Spirit who fills the universe. I read this quote as I was looking at things this week. And the quote is, there is given to the church and for the church's benefit a head who is also head over all things. The church has authority and power to overcome all opposition because her leader and her head is Lord of all. The church has all authority and power to overcome all opposition because her leader and her head is the Lord Jesus Christ over all, who is in all and for all. See, the resurrection power of Jesus is in us. The reigning power of Jesus is in us. The victorious power of Jesus is in us. God's gift to the church, which He fills us and equips us for, is this power, is this presence of Jesus for everything and in everything that we need. Are we willing to accept this power? Are we willing to accept this presence? Are we willing to abide in this reality as the Spirit leads us? And as we walk fully confident in the Lord's wisdom and provision for all things. This is what He is calling us. This is what He wants for His people. I'm attempting to share something, but I don't see that option here, which, oh well. So, I'm going to talk about something that my wife and I witnessed in Israel. And so I'm not able to pull up the picture right now, but anyway, so what I want you to do, you can do it either now as I'm talking or later, but I want you to Google Temple of Pan, Temple of Pan, P-A-N. So in Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he has taken them to an area in Caesarea Philippi. And this area is a common place, this particular area is a common place where people go to worship all these idols, okay? Jews and Greeks and all this. And so you can still go to this area today, okay? And it's this whole mountainside. And inside the mountainside, okay, are all these like carved nooks in there. It's this ginormous place. And inside each nook would be a idol that someone could come and sacrifice to and worship and call upon for whatever they needed. At the bottom of this mountain, of this place, was this deep cave. Part of it, the part of the opening, you can still see today. And it was called the Temple of Pan. And Pan was kind of like the supreme leader over all these other idols that were on the mountain. And what you would do is you would have to sacrifice these things to Pan. And it was known that if you did not make your sacrifice to Pan, if you did not worship him, he would, it was believed anyway, he would come in the middle of the night in your dreams or at night, wherever, and he would attack you. And so there was much fear and pandemonium that would arise out of people and thinking that, okay, if I don't worship this guy, then something bad is going to happen to me. Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's asking them who he thinks or who they think he is. And Peter confesses, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, you are right, Peter. You didn't come up with this yourself. My Father has revealed this truth to you. And I will say, Peter, that upon this rock, this foundation, based upon this confession that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of the living God, that I am this supreme authority, I will build my church upon this confession. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus most likely is saying this in front of this altar, this cave to this idol, this false god of Pan. Because this place of fear and pandemonium was also known to the Jews as the gates of hell. Jesus is standing in front of it and saying, This quote-unquote supreme God has nothing on this, on my people, has nothing on my church. This gate will never, ever come against, basically be able to destroy my church. Why? Because my church has a supreme, authoritative, victorious King, King of kings, Lord of lords, from beginning to end. Nothing can overthrow our King. Nothing. So I wonder this morning, for us, what does that mean for us in our lives? Make it practical, right? It means whatever you're going through, Jesus sees you, Jesus knows it, and Jesus has the power and the authority and the victory to get you through it. Now, is this process easy to go through all the time? No. No, it's not. But will our King get us through it? Yes, He will. I don't know a lot of what you've been through. You don't know a lot what I've been through. But I can guarantee you, from my experiences with the Lord, He will get you through everything that you are going through. Keep abiding in Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep walking with Him. Keep marching in before His presence and pleading with Him. Sometimes God's answers are silent. We think they're silent, but know that He is always working on our behalf. He is always working behind the scenes. He's working for our good and for His glory. In the midst of this pandemic, which is kind of where we get this word from this idol of Pan, of fear and uncertainty, Jesus still sits on the throne. He has not been knocked off. He has not been taken by surprise by this coronavirus, by you losing your job or having financial crisis or frustrations with work or family or whatever. He's not caught off guard. He is very, very sufficient and very, very well aware of what is going on. Trust Him in this, church. Trust Him to know that He is able, He is willing. Whatever you're going through today, I am praying for you. More, Jesus is interceding for you every day, all the time. May you know the hope of your calling. May you know the glorious riches that await you from the Father. May you know the immeasurable greatness of His power that is given to us through Christ, in Christ, to us who believe. May you know this. Next week, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul has one more evidence of God's power, of God's immense power, as he details in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That just as Jesus was dead and raised to new life, we, through Christ, who were once dead, have been raised to new life in Christ. And we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. We are held securely by Him and for Him in heavenly places. It's going to be a good time. So, join us again next week.